this morning, those who don't know me, my name is Pastor Vin, and I've been a pastor of this church for a long time, and I've been sharing with the gospel with everyone here on the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we call that the love chapter, okay? And I feel it's important that we need to find out what's love is all about. You know, just like a song we mentioned about, what is love is all about? Show me, tell me. Well, this is what the Bible going to teach us here. And open your Bible with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Matter of fact, in the Vietnamese service, I asked the people to commit to memory the first four verses. Maybe I need to do the same here in the English service. Well, why don't you read with me this time, and hopefully I will help you commit to memory and see the Bible text. I'm reading from the New King James Version, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a jangling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountain, but have not love, I am what? Nothing. Amazing. These are powerful things, but God says nothing if you don't have love. Verse 3, and though I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, give everything to the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, that's a completely sacrifice, but have not love is proof me nothing. And so all these is a prerogative to see that there's nothing if you have not love. Now, verse 4, getting to define what love is. Love suffers long, we talk about that, and is kind. The third point we're going to talk about today is love does not envy. Love does not envy. Is envy good or bad? Even a little bit? You think so? Well, according to the Bible, does not, zero, zit, none, nil, nothing. Okay? So love is no envy at all. But today we live in a society, people say envy, live is fine, to help you grow, to help you compare. But Bible says no. Now, you think, do you ever think about in your life how many times you envy in a year? Maybe one or more. How about a week? How about a day? Do you ever spot yourself that you envy? What is envy? Well, is envy trying to say is, what you don't have, you want it. Like the Bible said, 10th commandment, thou shalt not covetousness, right? Thou shalt not covet. That means you see someone have that, you want it so bad. Okay? You see someone have a good job, and you should have that job, but other one have it, you probably still have the sense of envy. How about you see someone have a nice boyfriend or girlfriend, and you are good. You're a pretty good guy and pretty girl. You know, you talk good, but you don't have it. Man, you got to get envy. And so people start envy left and right, from possession, from job, from career, from grade, everything. And so the Bible says, watch out. Bible says, thou shalt not, you should not have any envy in you. Now look into this first chapter, very beginning of God creation, how envy will hurt you. Sometimes we'll say, well, envy, okay, I might lose sleep over a night. It won't hurt so bad. But watch this. Throughout the Bible, anyone keep envy in their heart, they will hurt themselves. Turn to the Bible with me for in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 is beginning talking about the story of Cain and Abel. Now Adam and Eve have a first son called Cain and second son called Abel. And what type of work did Cain do? Huh? What did he do for a living? He's a farmer. What about Abel? He was more like a shepherd. And so at the time to give offering, Cain will give whatever he sold. That's mean all the fruit, all the vegetable you have. But Abel give the firstborn lamb. And so when God come down to receive this offering, the Bible say which offering did he took? Cain or Abel? Abel. What happened to Cain? He did his best. He did what he know best. But God did not accept that offering. Okay, the point is this here. We need to find out verse 5. But he did not respect Cain. This is God. God did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very what? Angry. And he and his countenance fell. He angry at who? At God. Not Abel. He's very angry at God. I mean, can you angry at God? Yes, but God will make decision. And so, but he carried on his angry envy toward his brother. Verse 7. Let me jump to verse 7. If you do well, this is what God said to Cain, will you not be accepted? If you do good, if you right, shouldn't you be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Temptation lies at the doorstep. Okay? And the desire is for you, and you should rule over it. Now, if Cain have any envy in himself, the Bible says he have to rule. Sometimes we so envy with someone, we cannot stand it. We cannot speak out, so we have to text. We have to cannot speak out directly to that person. We have to talk with someone else. Sometimes you have to run away and start to yell. You're so angry. You're so envy. So why, God? Why couldn't I have that? And God said, if that happened to you, you need to control it. Guess what? Did Cain get able to control his angry? His envy? Now Cain, verse 8, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. So we have a chit-chat with his brother. Come on. Abel, we go into this place. I talk with you. You know, why God accept your offering and doesn't mind? Tell me about it. Why? Man, what in you that God like you more than I? And so he continued to talk and talk and talk. And guess what? And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and do what? And killed him. Now, this is a long story. I'm sure he talked a long time, or many days, or months, a week, I don't know. But he's still envy in his heart until when the day he decided to take his brother's life. Today, some people do that too. I read news more than often. One guy go after one girl. They get into a fight. And they're willing to kill each other. Same thing with girls. Two girls go after a guy, same thing. It's happened all the time. Even in workplace. One employee envy over another one. Try to shoot other people down. Try to take over the job. Whatever. You know, it's happened more than often. But God say, if you do have love in your heart, you have to cast away that envy in your heart. Now, that's the story beginning with Genesis. And it's happened over and over and over until our time. Do you believe me? It's happened. You know, after Cain and Abel, guess what? You saw the same story with Esau and Jacob. Right? God already foretold before these two brothers will come into the world, Jacob, his later one, will have the what? Some of you know remember the story of the Bible. He had the blessing over his older brother. But Esau later on did not receive the blessing. He's envy. He chased his brother outside the land. And the story continued. Later on, they have children. Guess what? Jacob have 12 sons. Okay? 10 sons envy on Joseph. Guess what? When far and distant, the father tells Joseph, go bring some lunch to your brother. And these 10 sons are get ready to kidnap the son and try to sell to the Egyptian. They try to kill Joseph. That's happened so many times. When you go into the book of Kings and then what happened to King David? King David, when he took away from his throne, right? God, you know, stripped away from his throne, and God chose David, guess what? Saul go after David and tried to kill David. When you go into the New Testament, same thing. When the Jews saw Paul, Apostle Paul, preaching so well, they aroused the people, tried to kidnap Paul, and so they can kill Paul instantly. We see that continually until our day. We see it today, my friend. And so what I'm trying to say to you, do not take it lightly. It's a serious matter. If anything happened, we need to deal with it. Now, let me ask you, when you have an envy in your heart with someone, do you know it? Or someone have to tell you? Would you know it? Yes, you probably know it. It's kind of feel uncomfortable, kind of want to do something against it, kind of upset. You would know right away things we need to ask for forgiveness and pray. Let me tell you a story to illustrate this point. This is a story I've been telling. The two shopkeepers were bitter with revival. As one keeper over here, they tried to sell one thing. Other side of the trail sell other thing. And they tried to win the customer on their side. Okay, they want to have more business on their side. Anyway, one day, one night, the angel came to one of the store owner and give him a dream. And the dream go like this, that I will give you whatever you receive. If you have 10 customers tomorrow, I will receive your opposite one, 20. I will give the blessing to another person twice as much. And so if you have 100-fold, I will give the other one 200-fold. If you have a rich blessing on health, they have double blessing on health. And so the end of the dream, the angel asked this one of the store owners, what do you like to have? I mean, what have you like to have? Other people have more blessing than you. And so he can't get over with that envy. And so guess what? This is what he said. As he paused, he said, this is my request. Strike me to have one eye blind. Okay, just a story. Blind. Why? So I cannot see what other people have. Now, this teaches a story. The root of the problem with envy is comparison. Look what people have. What grade do you have? What car do you have? What home do you have? What friend do you have? You see? And so the best way to cut down or do away with envy in your heart is close your eyes. You don't have to see. Don't tell me how many home do you have. Don't tell me what car you have. Don't tell how many beautiful boyfriend or girlfriend you have. I don't need to know. I say, God bless you. That's all I can say. That's what it is. You got to close your eyes. You got to ask God, don't let me see all that. I don't want to see all that. Matter of fact, this is a long weekend. A Labor Day weekend. As I drove to work yesterday, and I see people go opposite direction. You know, I go on Freeway 10, go toward L.A., to the church to go to work. I see people head other direction. I say, well, I'm probably sure. I know where they're going. Most people go to Las Vegas. It's time to enjoy. And I see people pour U-Haul and a boat and a car and jet ski and everything. I say, man, people have fun. And then I hear people say, I'm going to spend $1,000 in this hotel tonight. I'm going to have fun. And I look at myself, gee, this week I have to go to work. I start to have envy. I say, why do you have to have so much fun? Why do you have to work? Why do you have to spend time here? And God tell me, you know what? Whatever God give them, you should praise them. Don't try to envy about it. I look at my hand and say, you know, every finger I have, not all of them are same length. Some of them short, some of them long. And so everyone is different, okay? God could give someone more blessing than other, but God give you this much. But he promised he will give you enough. And so I stop right there as I prepare my sermon. I say, no more envy. Don't think about that. You see, the more you think about it, the more you're craving and you want to have that. And you lost track. What's your goal? My friend Christian saw about is to use your money wisely, your time wisely. Do not waste your time and money in the world. Don't compare what other people do. They maybe enjoy a beautiful hotel and restaurant and a vacation, but you might use that money to help feeding the poor in Africa. That's fine. You should be happy instead of comparing yourself, why I couldn't I enjoy all that? You could. But you are the son and daughter of God. You have chosen to help someone else. When I went to Vietnam, I see so many poor people. I decided, you know, I make sure I use the money wisely. Don't waste on restaurant. Don't waste on very, very luxury vacation. Use the money wisely. Bring the blessing to others. And that's what Christians are about. And so the point I'm trying to say is recognize that you have envy with someone. Immediately close your eyes. I mean, close your spiritual eyes. Don't look at it. Don't even compare one bit. Don't even think about it. And the best thing not to think about it, to congratulate them. Man, that's good. You have a wonderful, beautiful girlfriend. Wow, I was wonderful. Or, yeah, wow, you have a good grade. Matter of fact, talking about grade, I remember when I was in school in University of Arizona in Tucson. And at that time, you know, people call me like a geek, you know. Always wear a glass and a pocket, calculator in my pocket all the time. I always wear a white shirt and black pants. That's it. That's my style. But anyway, I always in the library every single day of the week, even Saturday. By the sunset on Saturday, I head to the library. And I study and I watch people playing football down there anyway. And so other guy come on when the final come on and say, you know, hey, Vin, can you share with me? Help me. Teach me how to solve this problem. The test is tomorrow. And so I try to help them. And I take time away from my study to help them. Okay? And I got a good grade in math especially. And so I help this guy and this girl. And I know the whole semester don't even study. They spend time in the football field. They go out in sorority, whatever it is. And I focus and study. But I decided, you know what? Might as well help them. You know, they don't do so well. They need to pass a class anyway. So I spend time, a couple of days, to help them. Guess what? After the final, they score better than I am. And I think about, man, I do all this study. I stay in the library all day when they play football, and here they score better than I am. And I caught myself, hey, why am I envy? You should congratulate them because your help. They should do good. That's what we need to do. We need to stop right away and congratulate them and say, wonderful that you bought a very nice, inexpensive home, which I didn't. That's fine. But God bless you. God give you the blessing. That's what we did. We need to stop ourselves and we need to congratulate other people. We need to uplift them. Praise them. Because that's what we need to call for. Now, do you spot yourself in that scenario many times? It happened to me all the time when I was in the workplace. It's happened all the time. You know, you work so hard. Other people don't work so hard. They just go around different cubicles and they talk. And they, by the time they cut off some layoff people, you got cut off first and they still were at work. I mean, it's not fair. But you know what? We should be happy. We should be happy. And I know it's hard. I know it's unfair, but you know what? Make sure when you walk out of that workplace, walk out of school, go anywhere, make sure Satan will not steal that joy away from you. God give you that happiness and joy. Don't ever, ever let Satan take the joy away. Just like Cain, Satan took away from his happiness. And all he has is his envy and anger come to the point he killed his brother. Okay? That's just the point. Number one, recognize that you're in the stage of envy. Number two, that you need to not look anymore at other people, compare other people, but congratulate them. The third point is very important. Let me draw you an illustration in this very Bible text. Turn with me in the book of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. What does the Bible say? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What is it? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wound of a friend, but a kisses to the enemy are deceitful. Okay? Now, why of drawing that? Because the root of this word is envy. You need to be stable. You need to... because I read another translation, I just want to summarize this to you. God asks us to be content. Content, you understand? Content. And if you envy, you are hurting your health. And that's what this Bible text says. If you happy, you are better health. Let's say when your day you come home, you are happy. How's your health? You know, you're not under stress. You sleep fine. But those who are envy continue keep up and live that day by day, you're hurting your health. Is that true? Those who are in the medical field? You stress all the time, guess what? The next thing you get sick. Right? It's happened to me all the time. When I'm so stressed out, guess what? Your immune system cannot fight. All these bacteria will come in. Okay? And so that's what the Bible says. Now, I want to draw you an illustration here. There's a story by the pastor Dwight Moody. Tells a story about the fable of the two eagles. Now, one eagle flies so high in the sky and so beautiful the way that eagle fly back and forth. Other eagle cannot fly so well, and so guess what? That eagle have envy. Envy is hard. Yeah. Why I couldn't do that? I have wings just like that. I was born like that. Why I couldn't do all that? Well, this envy's eagle saw the hunter come by. And this hunter have a bow and arrow. Okay? And I say, hey, hunter, why don't you shoot that eagle down? And guess what? That envy in his heart tried to shoot that eagle down. And the hunter said, well, I don't have feather on my bow. And so this envy eagle said, well, okay, I can pluck one of my feather out to give you so he could put on his arrow. So I can shoot, and I shoot very far, and I couldn't hit that eagle because it flies so high. And say, you know what? I need more feather. And this envy eagle said, okay, I can give you more feather. As much as you need. You need more? I give you. I pluck all this feather off. Until the point this envy eagle cannot fly anymore. Guess what? This hunter caught which eagle? This eagle that doesn't have feathers to fly. Kill this eagle. Now that's a fable. Now, but this illustrates a very important point. When you have envy towards someone else, who got hurt? Yeah, that's right. You yourself got hurt. You hurt yourself. You're killing yourself. That's what happened all throughout the Bible. Even today time, people so envy, they hurt themselves. They even kill themselves. They even suicide. Why? Because they cannot stand. My friend, all this teaches a very important lesson. Love does not envy. Take that away from your heart. If you find it, any envy in your heart, whatever the setting, you need to just ask God for forgiveness. Take that away. Take that away. God's people at the end time, same thing. When you go into the end time, people will envy at you. Because why are you don't have a job like me, or a home like me, or a car like me, but you're so happy? What's going on with you? Is there a problem? Why are you so happy? Why you have blessed with a family? And the end time people will envy on that very thought. Let me give you a true story. Currently I'm reading the book Great Controversy now. Over and over again, and I reread the chapter 4. Especially, I don't have time to read. I put on the CD in a car, and I listen to this story. Anyway, the Waldensians, they love God so much, they want to share the gospel. They want to share the good news. They want to share the behavior that we need to love each other. And guess what? They have to run away from their homeland into wilderness and find some cave in the mountain to live there, to be trained by there, and study the scripture and go to the land and the market every day to share the gospel. Well, the more they're doing that, the people converted. People love God and they want to follow God. Well, this would get into the church. The church don't like that because that time the church don't let people read the Bible. And so guess what? The church go against these Waddenzi, these young men to go out two by two to share the gospel. Now they condemn these young men and they burn them to death. And they say, we could not find any fault against these young men. They are nice people. They help each other people out. They share the beautiful gospel. It's the only thing they don't like because they are so righteous. They are so righteous. That's exactly what happened to Jesus Christ. Jesus had nailed on the cross because they couldn't find any faults in them because he rose righteous. He able to teach people and people follow him. That's what happened to the end time people, to the church of God, the end time, same thing. When we do right thing, when we help other people look at you, why you do all this? They will be envy at you. You don't have the money, but you have the love to accomplish everything that's possible. You know what? Love can accomplish everything. Everything. But the people in the world, when they don't follow Christ, they will be envying God's people. Envy does not start in the Garden of Eden. It started way long time ago in heaven. When Satan saw what God created in this world. Magnificent, beautiful. And he cannot do it. He's the envy. And he starts telling other angels, say, he didn't do it. The Father must be did it. He cannot rule heaven. He said, I can do it better. And so he go around to cast out all this gossip because he's so envy. He's so envy about Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ always loved Satan and uplift him. And bring him back to the fold. But he cannot do that. One day, there's wars happen in heaven. And Satan lost the battle. He was cast down to the earth. And he started to tempt every single human being that come into this world. And that's why when you and I born, we start to develop envy among each other. A little kid learned to envy already between toys. My two brother, older brother, when we love him, and when the younger brother come into the world, we love the younger brother more. Guess what? The older brother, only 2 years old, started to have envy. You see, we're born with this sin, this iniquity. And God said, you got to take it away. You got to control it. Because you are my people. So Jesus Christ did not show any envy against Satan. But he came to this world to die for us to see that what we should live. My friend, this envy would not only stay in the church, not only in the school, in the workplace, but so enter into our church. Church. And we need to watch out and help each other out. Not everyone can preach well. Not everyone can be a good teacher. Not everyone can cook well. But we need to support each other. We need to uplift each other. We need to applaud them. And we need to pray for each other. I pray that this sin have rooted into the world, but not entered our church. My friend, we come to the point we need to pray. We need to pray that we are men and women of God, follow wherever the Lamb is leading. Prepare for the second coming. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, our God, and I know envy maybe sounds very little, but it's rooted into the human race. And God, you say love does not envy. So many people got hurt, themselves and others, into this world because just envy. Oh Lord, I pray that as we study this passage this morning, I pray for every young man and woman old and young, that we learn this lesson, that every time envy comes to our heart, that we do everything that's possible to stop it by asking you for help. And the second thing, Lord, that we uplift each other, applaud each other, that God can find in each one of our heart the well disciple that you're calling us to be. Prepare us to be godly people to waiting for your second coming. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.